You're it. Mr. Post, who also has a business with his sons, has not materialized at all. So we'll just talk, the three of us, for a little while.
Okay.
And tomorrow maybe we'll have him and your brother as well.
All right. Some of these folks know this story already, but we'll get talking and hope that we have some other people to come along. The topic for our next half hour or so is family businesses in the timbering industry. It's something that I didn't know about and discovered when I headed out to do field work and find out who was out there doing logging and milling, was that often it's a family business. Either that son will follow father in the same kind of work, or, as is in the case of the guest that I have right now, it actually is a family operation, with the kids getting more and more involved in the work as the years go by. The people I have here talking to me today are Lugene Baxley, Mrs. Lugene Baxley, and her son Danny, who run a chipping and a logging operation. They can tell you about the details. Lugene, why don't you go ahead and talk about what you were telling me a little while ago, how you got involved, and I mean, Lugene tells me that she is now, quote, semi-retired, end quote, which doesn't sound like enough retirement to me, but you've worked real hard.
Not as much as I would like for it to be.
Mm-hmm. You were telling me about some of your long days when you were working with your husband on this.
Well, really, the way when I started out and got as much involved in the business as I did is my husband had heart trouble and was a bad diabetic, and I more or less had to go along and be sure that he got his medicine when he needed it. And anything that come along, I either had to run get parts, run get diesel, run get labor, take a man to a doctor, or anything. Anything that come along, they called me the gopher for. So that's the way I wound up in it. And then when my husband passed away in 83, he was sickly a long time before then. And a lot of times he would be in the hospital as much as 3 to 6 weeks and sometime longer. And I picked up all the labor, got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, went and gathered up all the labor. All the kids had their chores that they had to do because Mama wasn't home to do them. And then when he would come home, I always kept the same amount of loads, never dropped let my production drop. And then when he come home, then I had to go and do the driving for him. So I was just as much as involved in it as he was. And then my two boys become grown men, and then we said, okay, it's time that y'all take over, or either we're going to dissolve it, one or the other. So this is my son, Danny, and he runs the logging operation for us.
We got the other brother coming this way.
No, that's my mama's sister right there I just seen.
Uh-huh. Tell us about how you... What did you start out doing when in this whole business?
Me? And
yeah, tell us about what
well,
you did.
Well, I started out being a youngin' in the woods just playing.
Uh-huh.
Every time Daddy got a new piece of equipment, I'd go to the woods and play it and drive it and run it, you know, and every chance I got, we'd go out there and run a piece of equipment or something like that, you know, and that's all I ever wanted to do was work in the woods, and that's all I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Are they pieces like this big
yes,
equipment
ma'am.
Out here?
Yes, ma'am. Similar to that, yeah.
How old were you when you started driving that stuff around?
Well, I used to ride in some of them's lap, some of the men's lap. And I guess when I first started really running a skidder quite a bit was 14, 15 years old, I guess, you know, during the summer, mm-hmm. you know.
Can you explain for folks who don't know what a skidder is, how it works, and
okay,
what it does?
There's two types of skidders. We got one we call a cable skidder, which you back up to the trees and release a lever, and you pull your cable off and hook up to your trees and then wind them up to you. And then we got what we call a grapple skidder, which is like this machine over here. You don't have to get off the machine. You just back up and push a lever, open your grapple up, gather up your logs, pick them up, and go. Man never has to get off his machine.
Is that they're already cut?
Right.
When you go at them, and then
right.
What is this dragging them to the truck?
Yes, ma'am.
Or?
It drags them up to the loader where you load them on the truck.
Okay. What's the difference between a grapple skidder and a loader?
Okay,
they
the
look
loader
the same to me.
No, the loader, most people nowadays use what we call a knuckle boom loader, and it sets on a truck or sets on a trailer, mm-hmm. and it turns around. It sets on a turntable and turns. It sets in one position.
Uh-huh, okay.
And it reaches out and picks the logs up and swings around and sets them on the truck.
Okay. So a skidder like this one here it's just not tall enough to do
the
loading?
Well, the skidder goes down in the woods and drags them out. Mm-hmm. The loader sets in one position and just picks them up over here and lays them on a truck on the other side.
Uh-huh, okay.
It stays in one position. The knuckle boom loader does.
Your mother was telling me earlier that when you and your brother got involved, you were excited about getting lots of new equipment and new...
Yeah, we like to experiment, you know.
What kinds of changes did you...
Well, make? The mills nowadays have made us go to a saw heads. Used to, and we still do, some people do, run what we call a fallow buncher with a hydraulic shear.
Mm-hmm.
And when it cuts the tree off, it's got sharp blades. And it compresses the wood. But when they saw the wood into lumber... And they dry it, the lumber splits,
uh-huh.
and they lose 1 to 2 foot, so we've had to go to a saw head to where it don't split it. And I was one of the first ones in Florida to buy a saw head. It's a three-wheel machine built in South Africa.
Wow. Is it it's a big machine like these with
no,
a
No, it's not
saw
real
head?
Big. It don't weigh but 12,000 pounds. Most of your fellow bunchers weigh 22 to 30,000 pounds.
Okay.
No, it's a real small, lightweight machine. But it we've cut up trees up to 38 inches in diameter with
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real handy machine.
That's a big tree.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you about, you work now for Georgia Pacific. So
right.
you're an independent business and
we're a contract logger for them, yes.
Okay.
The way they work, they have a contract every year you sign. And they go in and they'll buy a track of timber. And they have a standard logging rate. Sometimes they negotiate with you on a logging rate. You know, if it's a bad track or way back in the woods or a bad road or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you log for them for that rate is the way it works.
How many folks do you have working for
on my
you?
Crew, I got about 6 on my crew plus 2 contract haulers,
mm-hmm.
truckers. And on my brother's crew, he's got about 18?
There's 25 altogether.
25 altogether, okay. Thanks for what we got.
What's the difference in what his job is?
Okay, his job is a chipping operation. They'll go into a stand of timber, and they'll go through there, and they'll take out what we call the fuel wood first. It's all the little stuff that's from 2 inch down to 2 inch diameter, all the trash and bushes. They cut all that and drag it out. And they got a big machine, a chipper. They chip it up, blow it in a van, and Georgia Pacific burns it for fuel to fire
so
their
boilers.
So
it just comes out in real little pieces?
Well, no.
How
it's
big are they?
7/8 of an inch.
Yeah. Okay. The chips do, but the stuff they cut is just small bushes and little trees. It's not good enough for pulpwood.
Uh-huh.
And he goes through there and takes that out first. Then they go back and do their clean chipping, which they cut their bigger trees, pulpwood size, that they make clean paper chips out of to make paper.
Uh-huh.
What they do there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I do the logging where we sort out pulpwood and chip and saw and ply logs to make lumber and plywood out of.
Mm-hmm. How did you all decide to divide up the business that way? How did that?
Me and my brother don't work together very good.
Uh-oh. Lejean, can you tell us some background on this story?
Yeah. When my husband passed away, we just had the chipping operation. But I had 3 or 4 extra pieces of equipment sitting up in the backyard, still paying insurance on, still making payments on. And in the woods, both of them wanted to be boss. You can't do that. You have to have one boss in the woods. So it was an argument every night when they'd come in, and Danny'd say, I'm just going to get my own job. I'm quitting. I said, no, just hang in there. We'll take care of it. So I had everything except a truck and a loader, didn't I?
No, we had to rent a skidder.
We rented a skidder, and then Danny started on his own, and then we added another piece, and mm-hmm. so that's the way we wound up with 2 different operations.
How much of an investment do you have in machinery?
Oh, God.
God, I don't have any idea. a lot. I imagine.
$1 million.
I doubt that would cover it.
You had to go out and buy it all new today. They
mm-hmm.
See, the problem with it, before you get it paid for, it's wore out.
Uh-huh.
So you just continually making payments. It's just all paperwork.
Is that your specialty?
No money and a lot of paperwork.
Uh-huh. Now, did you do that part while your husband was alive? Did you take care of that?
We did together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now the boys, we all agree on a piece of equipment. We all talk it over before we decide to buy.
Uh-huh.
And do a lot of looking to see which is going to be best fitted for our job and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were showing me a letter to Georgia Pacific, who you work for, mm-hmm. commending you for your good work. Are there specific precautions that you take to make sure you do a good job in the woods?
That specific job was down here in Alachuay. A retired dentist and his wife had about 400 or 500 acres, and it was a select cut. We went in there and just took out certain trees,
mm-hmm.
and we was real particular about not damaging his oak trees and his live oaks. And he had a lot of azaleas scattered out in the woods,
dogwood trees.
We was real particular about not tearing them up, you know, and we cut some right up around his house, you know.
Can you do that with the big machinery?
Yes, ma'am.
Even that way?
Yeah. If you're real careful and take your time, you can.
Uh-huh.
If you take your time, you can.
It slows you down a little bit, but you do your best on every piece of timber that you cut. But it pays off
in the long run, because if you do a good job, you know, that man's going to recommend you to somebody else, or he's going to call you back one day and say, I want Danny Baxley to cut my timber again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth it. You know, it's worth take that little time and care to do it right.
How did you get signed on as a business with Georgia Pacific? How does that kind of a deal work for a small concern like your own?
Well, we started logging with Georgia Pacific in 65. Yeah, I think we started back with them in 77, though.
Mm-hmm.
In 77, and we had one big logging crew at that time, and Tony, he run the fella buncher, and I done the loading. We run anywhere from 3 to 5 trucks, and then later on we split up and we made 2 logging crews. Tony worked the east side of the coast, and I worked the west side of the coast. And then Georgia Pacific come to us and wanted to start up a chipping operation.
Uh-huh.
So we turned Tony's crew into a chipping operation. He stayed on the west side, or the east side, and I stayed on the west side. And we had a lot of trouble getting the chipping operation going. It was something new to us and changes we had to make. So we eventually shut my logging crew down and made one big chipping operation. GP come to us and wanted us to up production and everything, you know. So we just formed one big operation again. Mm-hmm. And that went on for about 2 or 3 years, I guess. And then our dad died, and we shut down there a week when my dad died, and we got back going again. Then later on, we started the logging operation back up. We had some equipment that was setting up that we needed to do something with that mm-hmm. we couldn't use on the chipping job no more, and that's when we formed another logging operation.
Do you like the logging better? Is that why
yes,
you
ma'am.
Got into it?
Yes,
what,
ma'am.
What attracts you to that as opposed to chipping?
Well, number one, I like cutting the bigger timber better, because in chipping you don't cut much big wood, and you have more products to haul. In chips, you just got chips to haul,
mm-hmm.
but in logging, you got pup wood, you got chipping saw, and you got ply logs you can haul. So if one mill gets full, you can always finish out the week on something else.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
You know, or if Georgia Pacific's full of chipping saw, you can haul chipping saw to Gilman or Rare or somewhere like that, you mm-hmm. know. And or Putwood, you can haul to Container or ITT or different mills, you know. So mm-hmm. you're not restricted as much there.
Okay.
You have more wood separating you have to do.
Uh-huh.
And it's a little more aggravating, but it works out pretty good.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh. That's good. So. How does it work with your sister is the secretary there?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that... Do you all work pretty well now that you've got your own
yes,
spheres?
Yes, ma'am. Works real good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, works real good.
Mom,
our brother-in-law.
Go ahead.
Our brother-in-law, Glenn, which is Nita's husband,
mm-hmm.
He's a ace mechanic, you might say. And he's just a whiz at about anything he does. Mm-hmm. He can do anything, you know. So he's a big help to us, too. Of course, then Nita, she's the secretary and tends to the telephone and the two-way radio and gets parts and takes care of payroll and all that, you know. And Mom and Percy, we let them handle the insurance. The complicated stuff.
The complicated. The brain work is Mom's job.
That's the problem, is the insurance. Mm-hmm. You used to worry about finance and stuff, and now you worry about getting insurance on it.
On the machinery itself?
Right.
Yeah, so expensive.
Mm-hmm. So expensive. Not only being expensive, but they don't, nobody want to insure loggers.
Do you have insurance on yourselves, too? Or
oh,
is
yes.
It, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We have a hospitalization plan on all of our men. We have a retirement plan. We give Christmas bonuses. And we just took out another insurance plan, which was a... It's like a guaranteed wage. If they get hurt, regardless if they're on the job or off,
uh-huh.
they'll get, I think it's what, $40 a day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$40 a day or $800 a month or something mm-hmm. like that, you mm-hmm. know. No. And yeah. it's something that we took out on them. Uh-huh. You know, we pay the hospitalization on the men, and if they want it on their wives or kids, then they pay it on them. So,
mm-hmm.
so it's, and we have a prescription card, you know, a drug card. If, uh-huh. if they need some medication, they can go down there and get it. And with this card, it don't cost them but like $4. You know, so it's a good benefit.
Sounds like you're good folks to work for.
We try to treat people right. You know, some people don't think that, but we do.
No, they'd rather have $10 extra than to have that health insurance. till they need it.
Till they get hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're about out of time. We're coming up with some fiddle playing here in a few minutes. And thank you both.
Thank you.